Welcome back to ADHD Powerful Possibilities. I'm your friend, ADHD Coach Catherine, and today we are looking at procrastination. Specifically, what happens when you are somebody with ADHD? You're procrastinating, but you are also the person who is completely in charge of your business. Unfortunately, I still have my ongoing throat problems, so bear with me. I will edit out the coughs, the throat clears, as far as I can, and let's look at what happens with ADHD and procrastination. I don't know a single person who hasn't procrastinated, and I'm going to say up front, everyone with a brain procrastinates. But with ADHD, we're talking about Olympic levels when it comes to putting off work we need to do, we know we need to do, and we just don't do it. So what happens in your brain that makes it so difficult to get past, and how can you overcome it? The biggest challenge we have with procrastination is this idea that somehow it means we're lazy. But that's not what procrastination is. It doesn't mean choosing not to do something because you don't feel like it. It means putting things off, even though you know you are going to suffer for it later. So let's get very clear. What is procrastination? And then we're going to look at why is it so common for people with ADHD? And then we're going to look, as always, at some practical tools and strategies and ideas that you can play with. There are two possible roots for the word procrastination. One is from the Greek akrasia, which means doing something against our own best interest. We're actively doing something that's going to harm us. And there's a Latin root as well, which is procrastinare, crass, being tomorrow, putting off things for tomorrow. And these two roots, I think, sum up why ADHD people have such a problem with it. On the one hand, what matters to us now is more interesting and important than what we need to do long term. And also, tomorrow is not now. Now is where we are. And sometimes we even have problems imagining tomorrow. We'll go into this in more depth. Even the definition should give you some idea that procrastination isn't the same as laziness. And I have to admit, I did this at the weekend. I had big plans. I had written all the scripts for a month's worth of podcasts. I'd written them all out late at night, got everything lined up, and I was going to record them at the weekend. And then it was more important in the moment to spend time with my daughter and my dog than it was to actually record these podcasts, even though I knew it would do me harm because I have a busy week. So procrastination doesn't go away just because you understand it and you know what it is. And I also thought it was quite funny that I had planned to record this podcast and then I procrastinated about it. And it's that act of delaying something, even when we know the negative consequences, that gives procrastination its unique quality, and it isn't just laziness. For people who aren't ADHD, it can come from a lack of motivation, it can be fear, it could be avoidance, it could even be perfectionism. And yes, all of those factors come into why people with ADHD avoid doing things. We also have perfectionist tendencies. We also sometimes just don't feel very motivated, but our brains in themselves are differently structured and wired, which is why it is so much harder to get out of procrastination. So let's look at your brain. First of all, your executive functions are challenged in ADHD. There's a deficit, there's a lack, and not everyone is the same in each of these areas, but they are all the problems that we experience most commonly day to day. So think of the mental skills that allow you to quickly switch tasks, to manage your time, to plan activities, to remember details, and to organize things. These are all part of your executive functions, as is emotional regulation. And these are all critical when it comes to overcoming procrastination. If we can't manage these executive functions, it's so much more challenging to break out of that cycle. We're also wired for impulsivity and instant reward. One of the things I see a lot with parents is they come along, they've got these reward charts, the reward charts aren't working, they're confused. And I have to explain, it's because our brains see the reward now or not now. And don't take this the wrong way, but it's a bit like shouting at your dog for something they did last week. The dog has no memory of why you're shouting at it. Might make you feel better in the short term, but it's not going to change their behaviour. The same thing with reward and ADHD. We want something now, and if we do something, we need to be rewarded for it almost immediately. Like many things, it can be learned. Generally, we need to have the reward closer to the action. And that's why we tend to prioritise immediate satisfaction, immediate feeling good over long-term rewards. And there are several studies that back this up that show a short-term reward is much more attractive for people with ADHD than the neurotypical population. And it's one of the problems with us having long-term goals and visions. We're also much more likely to perceive or see a task as being more difficult than it is. It feels difficult, so we avoid it. If something is boring or challenging, it's going to trigger our avoidance behaviour. And again, this is connected to our reward system, that lack of dopamine that is so common in ADHD. I have seen clients being able to learn that completion is more motivating than not starting, but that takes time. That's an advanced level of self-coaching. And in the short term, you're much more likely to think, meh, doesn't feel good, I'm not going to do it. So we're more likely to avoid things that are challenging. And of course, that's part of procrastination. And also, we've got the importance versus interest nervous based system. When people give you an Eisenhower matrix and they say, this is important and urgent, this is not urgent, not important, none of that matters if you have ADHD, because it can be really urgent and really important. If it's not interesting, you are going to find it much harder to engage with that activity. And depending on your flavour or recipe of ADHD, that could mean that things like taxes are important, they could be urgent, but they're not very interesting on the surface. So again, the procrastination comes into play and we put them off. And finally, that emotional dysregulation I mentioned at the start, in general executive function terms, emotional dysregulation is the key to most of ADHD's challenges. Because any task or activity associated with a negative emotion is going to be put in the not now, I'll deal with it tomorrow bin. We're also more sensitive to negative feedback or perceived negative feedback, that rejection sensitivity. It's not that other people don't experience it, but the pain, the impact of that negative feedback is so much stronger. Again, we will postpone it and delay it in favour of something that we can do now and that is much more enjoyable and is avoiding that pain. Although everyone procrastinates, if you have ADHD, the parts of your brain that create the ADHD are also the parts of your brain involved in getting tasks done and avoiding them. Before you start designing any hacks or strategies or tips, make sure that you really understand your ADHD, what your particular challenges are, and how you respond to things like a negative emotion, a negative feedback, things that are challenging. Listen to the ideas and the meaning that you give something when it's hard. And now we're going to look at procrastination. We can give it three labels, although it is still all part of the same thing, and it doesn't mean you can't experience one or more at the same time, just to make it more complicated. But these are avoidance, arousal, and decision procrastination. We'll go through each of them in turn to explore them a little bit more, and you might recognise one or other, or all three, being the thing that's keeping you stuck right now. The first one is arousal procrastination. It's not as exciting as it sounds. It's about the deadline and the impact of a deadline or a frame around a task. And the reason this one is particularly enticing for people with ADHD is if you have a lack of dopamine, or your dopamine isn't quite where it should be in terms of getting started on tasks, you might be relying on adrenaline. Now, a deadline, which is close enough, is going to create some stress, which is going to create adrenaline, and that will temporarily give you the focus that you need to get the task done. That last minute, night before the deadline for a project, for a quote, for your tax return, the ability to focus for 5 or 6 hours straight, that's adrenaline. And that in itself is not a great thing to rely on long term. Arousal procrastination, where we're needing the adrenaline of the deadline, the pressure of the deadline, long term is more likely to lead you to burnout, because you're going to experience anxiety and stress along with that adrenaline hyperfocus, and the anxiety and stress are negative, which will lead you to procrastinate more. The next kind of procrastination is avoidance. This one's connected to a fear of failure, a fear of judgment, sometimes even a fear of success. If you complete this task and do it well, is it going to be expected of you every time? So fearing success as much as failure and judgment is part of our avoidance structure, which is protection, right? But if we never try something because we procrastinated and it's now too late, nobody's going to judge us or our performance in this task. We can't fail because we've never begun. And if we don't fail, people aren't going to be saying, look at them, what do they think they're doing? It's about protecting yourself. And I use the word self-esteem because people who have good self-worth and who are confident in themselves generally find this one less of a problem, because you're more likely to be certain of your value without needing other people to praise you constantly. So if you find yourself using avoidance procrastination, you might want to be thinking, I have some work to do on my self-worth. Because the more we do this kind of procrastination, over time, it can seriously limit our potential for growth, for development, for new opportunities. And that just reinforces a negative self-image over time. So try and avoid avoidance procrastination, or recognize it and then do some work on what's causing it. And then the last one, decisional paralysis or procrastination, is the one that many people think of, the analysis paralysis. Decisional procrastination is both a fear response, but also an ADHD executive function challenge, because we're literally trying to run all of these analyses at the same time. But are you avoiding a decision because you're scared of making the wrong choice? And of course, when we have executive function challenges on top, we can sometimes struggle to take pieces apart and analyze them calmly, because looking at all the potential outcomes is just too much. So we don't do anything at all. Looking at each of those three kinds of procrastination, it should be obvious that ADHD turns the intensity of them up so far because of the way our brains work anyway. It's not just about time management, it's about our emotional regulation, our impulsivity, and how we make decisions and choices. But until you've taken some time to understand which kind of procrastination you're dealing with, it's going to be harder for you to identify the underlying root cause. Think of it like one of these big Jenga blocks with the bricks that you take out to topple the tower. If your procrastination's a tower, we need to remove blocks from the bottom if we want to knock the whole structure down. And to do that, we're going to look at why procrastination happens, and unpacking the why behind these three kinds is going to help you to get clearer still. One is lower self-efficacy. That's a fancy way of saying we have less confidence that we can do a job well, that we are capable. The second one is lower value given to tasks and activities. And of course, impulsivity. And we're going to look at each of these three to help you explore them a bit more in your life. Looking at lower self-efficacy is really important with ADHD because of the emotional regulation challenges we have. It basically refers to how we believe we are going to succeed or accomplish a task or complete a situation. There are many reasons why somebody with ADHD can have lower self-efficacy than their neighbour. That could be past experiences from childhood. We receive more negative feedback. We're more likely to struggle with things like homework and tasks that are valued by the rest of society because of our ADHD brain. We have this low self-efficacy from an early age. We just don't think we're capable. Your confidence can be knocked really quickly early on with a few badly timed words from somebody that you value, like a parent or an adult in authority. We tend to think, I struggled before, what's going to be different this time? I'm just not going to try because I'm no good at this kind of thing. And that's one of the reasons why having a group of people, a coach, somebody in your life who can cheer you on and give you positive reinforcement and let you see how amazing you are can really help when it comes to procrastination. Moving on to lower value. Now, this is about the significance and interest of a task or activity. And if it's not valuable, that means it's not aligned with our interests. It's not immediately rewarding. There's no real engagement. It's maybe too easy or too hard in execution. That creates low value for our ADHD brains. And it's not because we're bored by something. It's because we need stimulation. An ADHD brain that is not adequately challenged with a task that's interesting for us personally is going to be one that finds it almost impossible to begin and engage with that task because we don't have the neurotransmitters that fire together and create the action of, it's not that we won't, we can't. So creating value is something that we can work on and that we can learn to do, but it's not generally taught in school. So don't feel bad if you've never been able to create value in a task that you just struggle with so much. And the need for our brain to engage with tasks that are high reward or are in line with our preferred interests, our values, explains why we need to find personal relevance in what we're doing. And I'll talk about that a bit more later on. And finally, impulsivity. It's not just the classic squirrel interruption, although I have to say my brain does that with alarming frequency, especially if I see a cute dog in the street. Edinburgh's full of cute dogs. But impulsivity actually ties really strongly with procrastination. So if you are somebody who is very impulsive, and that doesn't necessarily mean you move a lot, your brain can be impulsive, you're going to find procrastination cropping up frequently for you. And that's because short-term enjoyment and pleasure will always override long-term, valuable long-term outcomes. And two of the ways that I see impulsivity showing up in disguise are an activity that procrastinates the actual job or task that you had. And procrastinate learning, as you can imagine, is learning something so that in theory you can do the thing you have to do better, but actually you're just putting it off. And that is a very ADHD thing. And I'll explain why I think it's particularly important for us in just a few minutes. So looking in depth at procrastivity, you're more likely to take on other tasks that give you an immediate feedback, are quickly completed, and make you feel like you're busy and you're active. You're not lazy, but you don't actually get closer to the goal, to the task that you had to do. So that's things that feel like busy work, but don't move the needle. An activity doesn't get you there, but it makes you feel good in the short term. That's procrastivity. But we can get stuck in this procrastivity cycle because at the end of the day, we've been busy all day, we've been active, we're no closer to our long-term goals, and that makes us feel worse. We become emotionally dysregulated. And so the next day, guess what? That cycle is so much harder to break out of because you're emotionally avoiding things that you didn't do yesterday and that are making you feel worse. It allows us to cope in the short term with those feelings of inaction, but it just leads to a cycle of rushed decisions, overlooked details, and incomplete goals. Procrastinating learning is slightly different. It's what I call the learning loop, and I see a lot in business owners, anybody really, but especially in people who are self-employed and who have ADHD. That's quite a large number of us. It could be because we genuinely love learning. That's one of my top VIA character strengths. I love learning. It's very easy for me to get sucked into this, but we get stuck in this endless cycle of doing more classes, more courses, more qualifications, reading more books, following more people, and we never actually take action. And it's great to have this incredible curiosity, this wonder, this thirst for knowledge. It's one of our strengths, but it's also an avoidance of failure. If we don't try, we can't fail. Nobody can judge us. So although it looks really positive and worthwhile, it's always got to be seen through the lens of ADHD. Am I doing this because I enjoy it and it's useful? Or am I doing it because I'm a bit worried about taking action, being judged, failing, and how that will be perceived by others and what they might say about me and what I believe about myself? It's also connected to our need to absorb all the details, our ability to hyperfocus, our thirst for information. These are all ADHD strengths, but when they get in the way of you doing work and taking action, that's procrastinating learning, not just learning. And you can tie those two back to what we looked at before with impulsivity, the need for immediate reward, the time management issue. These are all part of ADHD challenges that are built in, hardwired to our brain. But the good news, of course, is that we have neuroplasticity and we know it continues throughout your whole life. Before we get to the end, I want to say that I have an ebook I've been working on for a while, and it's sharing my own framework for overcoming procrastination. I've shared it with a few people now and they are really excited. So make sure that you are signed up to my mailing list. I'll include a link if you want to be notified about when that is available. And it's something that I think can change how you work long term. I've got a few surprises to go with it. But let's get back to the strategies about ADHD and how to manage procrastination. First of all, I want to say you do not have to be productive 24/7. It's really important that you're getting adequate rest, sleep, you're making time for enjoyment and fun. If you're not doing that, don't listen to the rest of this. Go away and make sure you've got firm boundaries about your sleep, your time off, your weekends. If you feel even slightly close to burnout, step away from all productivity advice and focus on restoring your well-being and your rest first. Now those people have left the room, let's get on with what you can do if you need to get stuff done. You have ADHD and you're procrastinating. Here are a few strategies that you can play with. Of course, there's the generic productivity type advice, Pomodoro timers, planners, etc. They have their place. I'm not saying they're useless, but as you will know, because you will have tried them, they fall short when it comes to undoing ADHD type of procrastination. And that's because of all the things we've just talked about and how your brain works. If you have taken the time to think about which kind of procrastination you're struggling with most, you'll be able to listen to this section and take the one that works for you most or combine them together. So make sure you've got a notebook, or I will make these into a download that you can grab at the end. Let's think about specific strategies for each type, and you can mix and match experiment with these and see which ones feel good for you. And one of the problems I see quite often is that we try very generic neurotypical based productivity tips, such as a Pomodoro technique, which is great in some ways, but it doesn't address the underlying causes of the problem with ADHD, which isn't just not being able to get started. It's so much more than that. And the way we do that is we enhance our self-efficacy, we raise the task value, and then we put in place impulsivity techniques. It's always going to be part of your natural operating system. If you think about your system as Mac versus Windows, you're going to run on Safari when the rest of the world is operating on Windows. But that doesn't mean we can't do upgrades, right? Arousal procrastination, thrill seeker delay, needing that energy, that adrenaline to give you the hyper focus to get started, to complete the task, is classic ADHD. How can you manage arousal procrastination? The key long term is to create a structured excitement in task completion itself. I just finished talking to a client and saying exactly the same thing. Completing a task can become rewarding in itself, no matter what the task is, when we address it properly, when we recognize it, we celebrate it, we focus on the completion, not the task itself. And one of the ways we can do that is to build in mini circuit breaks where we set an achievement we need to reach by that time, and then we celebrate it. It's not just achieve task one, tick, achieve task two, tick. It's achieve task one, brilliant, fantastic, and really focus on how good we feel at reaching that goal, that mini goal, that mini deadline. If you've ever had to train a puppy, you get their attention by being really excited and really celebrating when they go outside to pee, when they sit down. Rewarding that action makes the action a reward in itself. We're going to do the same. You're going to set a mini goal, a mini deadline, and when you get there, you're going to celebrate it and really focus on how good it feels to complete that stage. You're going to believe that you can achieve things more, and it changes how you view yourself, which is you learn to self-coach yourself to reach these goals. That's the ultimate goal, is to be a good self-coach. With avoidance procrastination, which is based in avoidance, fear, self-doubt, self-efficacy issues, we need to reframe the task and reframe what it means, as well as understand how to structure it so that you cannot lose. So on the one hand, if you're avoiding it because you're worried about how people will see you if you don't achieve something, how small a step can you make it? This is based in Timothy Galway's famous book, The Inner Game of Tennis. If you haven't read it, it's one of my favourites. And you make each stage small enough so it's achievable. And that will address your doubt about whether you can do something or not. The other thing that can happen with avoidance procrastination is low value. If the task isn't valuable because it has no meaning for you, learning how to create meaning and relevance for you, for your own long-term goals, your own long-term personal values, is going to change a low-value task into something that you enjoy completing because it is in line with your values and your long-term goals. That's the reframe. And the final kind of procrastination, decisional procrastination, which we know now is connected to our executive functions, so it's a structural issue. We need to develop our own clear prioritization framework. And we do that because we simplify the choices by having a clear criteria or level for making those decisions. And here are two ideas for you to play with when it comes to managing procrastination generally: microtasking and engagement shifting. So microtasking is literally breaking each task down into the smallest possible step. Some people become overwhelmed because they see this endless list of things that they need to do. The goal is to start taking action really quickly, so you're constantly breaking it down and achieving things. It's about that immediate reward and forward motion. So microtasking isn't about building 500 step list of each part of a project or task. It's about how effectively can we make progress going through each element. You're not writing an SOP. You don't need to record things that other people need to know. This is only for you, and it's about being able to get that hit of having finished each stage quickly. It gives you immediate feedback and accomplishment. The second tactic, engagement shifting. This is about how we feel and think about a task. It's not about gaslighting yourself or kidding on that something's really fun and exciting when it's not. It's a reframe that allows you to engage with it from a different position, a different story that you're telling yourself, and creating personal relevance. When something is personally relevant, it's so much easier to engage with. Something that you may not immediately connect with managing procrastination is thinking about past success. Unless you have a clear record of your past achievements, things that you have done well before, it's going to be harder for you to be accurate about how effective you are, what your self-efficacy is, because you need to recognize your past success to be the foundation for your future success and enjoyment. We need concrete evidence that you can access quickly to prove to yourself that you can do this. I believe you can, but you need the evidence. The other thing that doesn't appear immediately relevant to procrastination, but it is thinking about your long-term meaning and your mission. What is your vision for your life? That might appear to have nothing to do with procrastination. Unless you can make a task personally relevant, it's going to feel like pushing treacle uphill. We want you to have a clear view of what your vision, your mission in life is, what you want to achieve. Then you can look at the task and you can develop a way to make it personally relevant and meaningful. So we've looked at what procrastination is and the three kinds of procrastination. We spent some time exploring why we procrastinate, not just the physical structure of your brain, but things like your self-efficacy, the value of the task, your impulsivity. We've also added in some fairly advanced techniques for looking at procrastination through a different ADHD lens. I do have another podcast episode that looks at procrastination. I will have a link to that in the show notes. But of course, in a few weeks, I will have my ebook available, which breaks down the model I've developed for managing procrastination and getting tasks done, especially for people who are wearing all the hats in their business or who are just exceptionally busy. I would love your thoughts on how you see procrastination now that you understand the different kinds, if you recognize one more than the other, if that has changed over time. You can leave a comment on my Instagram account or you can email me. Thank you so much for your continued support and feedback. I meet so many people now who say, I love the podcast, I heard this episode and it really helped. And I hope that you will share this with somebody who's struggling with procrastination. It is so special when somebody's taken the time to leave a comment. It really makes a big difference for me. Thank you again. I look forward to sharing with you next week all about strengths and ADHD and why a strengths-based approach can make such a difference to how you feel everyday life. I'm ADHD Coach Catherine. And you've been listening to ADHD Powerful Possibilities. Take care of yourself and just remember, everything is possible.